Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I ask that tonight, God, that you would speak to my brothers and my sisters and myself, that you would encourage us through the power of your Holy Spirit to say yes even more than we've ever said before to you, to go deeper in your love and understand that you have a purpose for each and every one of us in this room, and that we would walk in the fullness of our destiny, that you, Jesus, would not be an add-on to our life, but that you would be our life. And I just ask, God, tonight that you would anoint your word in this time that we have, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn. I'm going to go to Isaiah 26 here just in a moment. But tonight, in the last week, I've kind of been all over traveling a little bit. And I was in Asheville, North Carolina. I ended up in Nashville, Tennessee, and across to KC, Missouri. And in the midst of that week, God was speaking and saying so many things. And I was encountering a lot of different folks and a lot of different people on their journey with the Lord. And the last stop that I had was in Kansas City, where I was at a two-day seminar where people were being prepared to be places of refuge, places of where people would dwell in the presence of the Lord, that the canopy over their refuge would be prayer, and that they were just seeking God to say, okay, Lord, what is it? What time are we living in? And some of these folks that were there were people that we've prayed for even in this prayer room. They're called Crisis Response International, and they were on the front lines in Iraq. They were praying for Christians that were there, and they were about 10 miles from ISIS, and they said they're not leaving, they're going to stay and intercede, and they did. And God did amazing things in their midst. And so when you gather around people like that, you know, things shift, and you get your paradigm shifts a little bit, because you realize that, okay, when I started this thing with passion and with fire, and I want to end with passion and fire. Matter of fact, on the way, as I was traveling, the Lord said to me very clearly, as I was weeping in the car, he said, this is halftime. And he said, you need to take this halftime to adjust some things and to hear some things. And then you need to go after the second half like never before. You need to learn the mistakes you made and the things you did right in the first half. Now it's time to go for it like never before. And I felt that, and I wept and I cried, and the Lord confirmed that message in a powerful way to me. And so even tonight, I want to challenge you and challenge myself about the depth of your intimacy with Christ and about your walk with him and about where you're at with him. Because we can always go deeper and deeper in the knowledge of who he is and deeper in love with him. And I believe this right now so powerfully, that if he is not your everything, then things are going to really shake in your life more than ever before. But if he is your everything, if he has supremacy over your life, that he is the number one thing, then you know that you can stay in the place of love, and that love will be perfected. And you know that you can stand in any storm that comes because of love. And that's where we have to be. We cannot have a crossless Christianity. We have to lay our lives down completely and embrace the cross of Christ, or it's not going to make sense. And when I was gone, the Lord said, man, you got to trumpet things. You got to sound the alarm. You got to tell people to get ready. Whether there's a few or whether there's many, you cannot be quiet any longer. You cannot hold back any longer. You have got to prepare yourself, your family. And let me just say this, as Christians, men and women, the first and foremost priority that I have is my relationship with God, but it's over my family. And then it's over my spiritual family. And then it's out to all those that are out there that need to know Christ. And we can't shrink back in this hour. And God is positioning us in his passion, and he's preparing us. And we need to know that. And I want to shake us loose of any timidity that we have or any fear that we have to even share our hearts about Christ. Because now's the time, and we can't shrink back. And I'm going to say some things tonight that you might kind of scratch your head, and you might disagree with me, and that's really okay. It's okay to disagree, but you know what? Just take it before the Lord and make sure you take it to the Word, and that you know that it lines up with the Word, with what I'm saying. So tonight is about, I want to speak to you about being ready and being prepared. I believe that our window of freedom, listen, Our window of freedom is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And what I mean by that is that we've had a lot of freedom in this nation to stand for Christ. But we see things shifting and changing. We see things coming against Christians and against the Word of God. People have said things like, are you kidding me that you believe in that old archaic book? Why don't you get with the times, man? Why don't you live and know what's going on? You know, I've heard that rhetoric all the time because people are moving away from the Word of God and moving away from the truth. And so the freedom is getting smaller. Every individual in this room, and you have to make sure that the foundation that you're building on is on the rock, is on Jesus Christ, is on Yeshua. It's got to be on Him and nothing else. You can't build it on anything else. A man or a woman who seeks to love Him and to love others is free. When you begin to love God and start loving other people and you see that love come through you, there's a freedom that you experience. And you're free to share your faith and to go wherever you need to go. And there's this strength and this boldness that comes through that place of love. Trials and shakings are going to cause us, listen, to be perfected in love. Trials and shakings are going to cause us to be perfected in love. Now, there's something I'm going to say here, and I'll prove it in the scripture in just a little bit. But a lot of times we pray always for things to be good. Amen. We always pray, and there's nothing wrong with that, for things to be great and good. We never pray and say, God, I'm not saying never. We probably have it time to time. God, whatever trials, whatever needs to come my way, whatever needs to take me closer to You, let it come. And sometimes when we see things that are big or things that seem to be really happening, we think, well, that must be God. And we don't realize that God may be in that, but He may not be in that. And if we see something that's small or less, or even people going through a rough time, we think, oh, they must be away from God. That is not the case always. Sometimes they're exactly where God wants them to be, because it's through trials, it's through suffering, it's through embracing the cross that you die to yourself and you come alive to the fullness of what God has for you. And so it's not always about praying about great things, even though I love to pray about great things, and I love that. But sometimes it's like, okay, I want to be ready. I want to be ready for whatever is coming. I want to know You deeper than before. So whatever I'm holding on to, Lord, right now in my life, I want You to get it out of my grip. Because for some reason, I'm not able to let it go. So Lord, have Your way with me. That's a huge, huge prayer. And I'm sure that every one of you in this room from time to time has prayed that prayer. And God wants you to be fully, absolutely His and be in an unshakable kingdom, because His kingdom is unshakable, but it's unshakable because of love. Prayer is what draws us near to God. When prayer stops, listen, when prayer stops, our momentum stops. And that means individually. That's just not corporately. That means individually. When your prayer stops, your momentum stops to go forward in the things of God. And prayer is that relationship each and every day that you have in communication with Him. And it doesn't matter how many people you talk to or how many things you do. If you don't have that prayer, prayer is the canopy over everything that we do. And if we don't have prayer as a canopy over what we're doing, then the momentum will begin to cease and we'll begin to try to make things happen and not allow God to make things happen. Prayer is that canopy over everything in the kingdom. In love, we react different. In love, when we're in love with Christ, we respond and react different to situations. When we're in fear, we act really unhealthy. And God wants us healthy in love. And not living in the place of fear. He wants us to move in that. Our spiritual condition must be in a place of peace, of love, of prayer, of hearing, of seeing, of resting. And it must be in the place of trial. That's not preached too much. But James says, consider it a joy when you go into trials. Peter speaks about it. Now I want you to turn to, as I said, Isaiah 26, 7 through 13. I'm just going to read through these scriptures a little bit, and I'm going to try to bring us into a place of understanding in 2 Thessalonians 1 in just a moment. But Isaiah 26, 7 through 13. Listen to this. Let's just go through the scripture. The way of the righteous is smooth, O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, and by the way, his judgments are motivated by love. They really are. We have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. You can see that there, he's saying, you are everything. You are everything to us. At night, my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. God is a God of love, but God is a God also of mercy, and he's a God of judgment. And we don't want to talk about that. But God loves us so much that he won't allow evil to continue to hinder his word and hinder his love. Though the wicked is shown favor, in verse 10, he does not learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. We see that happening in the land, and we see people moving forward that are totally of the world. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, yet they do not see it. I believe that the hand of the Lord is lifted up over America. But I believe that they've been blinded and they can't see it. And I pray that through us, that they would be able to begin to see it again. I think of Revive Indiana and what's taking place in our state. And I know that even all the attention that's been put on our state here recently in the news, things are shifting and shaking all the time. And it's because God is moving in this state. God's hand is over this state. I believe that with all my heart. So they don't see it. They see your zeal for the people and are put to shame. Indeed, fire will devour your enemies. Lord, you will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us, all of us, our works. O Lord, our God, other masters besides you have ruled us, but through you alone we confess your name. This is critical, and it's factual, and I'm not being a critical person when I say this, but for the most part, people are blind because of many of the doctrines that we have embraced in our church. We have not embraced the cross to the degree that God wanted us to embrace the cross. Many of our doctrines, much compromise is in the body of Christ. And because we've compromised, it begins to cause us to be blind. And there's a horrible lack of humility in the body of Christ. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I believe that judgment is coming. And God, whether you like it or not, his judgment is moving. And it's going to come. I felt this so strong. But love is behind his judgment. Don't forget that, or you'll misread the message that I'm trying to even share tonight. Love is behind it. And it is the fabric of his judgment is jealousy. He is jealous for you. And he loves you. And he won't take much more. I'll just believe that. We've been blind. We can't see the Lord. Spiritual blindness is rampant. Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Okay, starting with verse 3. Now this is 2 Thessalonians. Of course, this is Paul speaking. And this third verse is really such a good verse. But I want you to catch what's going on in this verse. It says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. And the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater." That's a great verse. That's a happy verse. That's a good verse. But look at verse 4. "Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecution and afflictions which you endure." This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it only is just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. You back up and you look at that verse. Again, we always preach just on good things. But you look right there and you see that Paul is saying, he didn't pray right at that point and saying that those afflictions would leave. He's saying, we are all proud of you. Paul knew because of his own life and what he went through and all the persecution he went through, he knew that it was going to draw them closer in love and knowing Christ, that they wouldn't be dependent on themselves anymore. They would be completely dependent upon him. And that persecution and those trials, they benefited them. It was a blessing. Now, I know, you know, some of you are saying, I want to get out of this affliction. I want to get out. And I understand that. But I remember even meeting with Graham Cook and talking to him. And somebody says, man, I'm just going through so many trials. And Graham Cook was so sharp and so quick. And he said, give me some of those trials. And he really meant it. And it was like we kind of were stunned because he knew that those trials would perfect him even deeper in the place of love and be more like Christ. So when a trial comes into your life, utilize it to cause you to grow deeper. You may not have the answer and there may be pain, but if you are totally rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, the answer will be found in him and you'll have understanding of why you go through that trial. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I believe shaking and things are coming to our nation. I believe that we're going to go through more trials. But if we are perfected in love through trials and we are in that place of love with Christ, then we will be able to weather the storm and stand in the midst of it. And that's what this is about tonight. This isn't a negative message. This is a preparation to be prepared to know that he's your answer and he's how you're going to make it through anything that you deal with. We presume, again, greatness by God things, the things that happen that are big. But a lot of times they're not. Our faith, there's a scripture that says that the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. You see, we are to be tested so that we can be ready. We're to be tested. I want the good things. I believe for good things. I want to pray by faith. I want to see miraculous signs and wonders. But I also know that God's got to test us to make us ready so that we would be willing to lay everything down. Here's the big one. If you want to put this together, there's probably more, but this is a big one. If you're not ready to lose your life and you want to save your life, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose your life. But if you're ready to lose your life for Christ and lay it all down, you're going to save your life. That is the upside down kingdom that we talk about around here a lot. That if we're willing to lay everything down, then God will use it in a great way. We need to pray. Now, this statement, you might really disagree. I feel a little bit about it, is that it could be a little off, but if we always pray for good things and not for God to have his way with us, sometimes that's even could be a sign of an area that we're immature in because we're not asking for everything. Lord, whatever you got to do. And so always our prayers is, you know, always these high-level prayers, you know, and nothing wrong with them. Please don't. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes we're immature because that's all we care about a self-serving gospel that we get everything to us and that we're taken care of. We don't want to lay our lives down for the gospel. And that time's changing. That time's changing in youth, and it's changing in both generations. And it's not just one generation that's going to move in the power of the kingdom. It's all generations combined moving together in the love of God. And we're going to see great and mighty things happen. Because we have greatness on the horizon because we're laying things down for him. And you believe that. It's not about us. It's about his heart and it's about him. Amen? You see, I know that I'm not complete if I'm not resting in the hope of Christ. I know that I'm lacking. If I have all my faith in some natural thing that is other than Jesus, my hope is misplaced. If I have my hope in any natural thing other than Jesus Christ alone, then my hope is misplaced. My hope has to be on Him. We sing about it all the time. Self-centered living is our downfall. And God is asking us to die to ourselves. None of us want to suffer. But He wants us sometimes to fellowship in it and understand it. It will work something so great in us. This is the time we're living in. Everything is shifting. The alarm is being sounded. And people are going to shift their lives completely and say, you know what? It's not about this big degree and having all this money. It's about laying my life down and going hard after God. And God will open up doors where no doors could be opened. And then it will begin to cause those that are wanting you to, you know, do this or do that, to start scratching their head and going, man, what is going on? But all I know is their lives are hugely blessed because they're following Jesus. They're following after Him. God doesn't want us to live in the temporal, but He wants us to live in the eternal. We are living in a time that, again, as I said earlier, that freedoms are getting smaller. Turn to Joel 2. Many of you are familiar with that. You guys okay? All right. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just passionate and excited. All right. That's why you walked in here tonight. I couldn't believe it was you. I was glad to see you. Amen. Joel 2, starting with, verse 10. Before them the earth quakes and the heaven trembles. The sun and the moon grow dark and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord utters His voice before His army. Surely His camp is very great, for strong is He who carries out His word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome, and who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return, that's the word, return to me with all of your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He's gracious and He's compassionate. He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. Who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Then look at verse 15. This is our hour. This is our time. Blow the trumpet in Zion, those who trust in the Lord. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. And this is so important that he says, let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. That's an important moment in a person's life. He says, let them come out of that important moment and understand the time in which they're living and return to Him. The day of the Lord is indeed is great and very awesome, and who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return, there it is again, to the Lord your God, for He's gracious and compassionate. I could read this over and over and over. Now let me explain something about this passage. This passage, this was at the time of Joel crying out. You know how long he cried out that message? You can check me out on this. 30 years. 30 years he cried out and he blew the trumpet and he sounded the alarm and he didn't stop. Can you imagine how people were saying, will you please be quiet? And he was also part of Zephaniah. He was a part of it. And Habakkuk was a part of it. And they were prophets and they cried out to the Jewish nation to return to God. And they didn't do it. They never did. God is crying out to this nation. The trumpet is being sound to return to Him with all of our heart. And we've got to turn to Him. But in this case, they never did. And guess who came on the scene right after Joel? Jeremiah. And all of a sudden, he's got the pillow prophets that are telling the king that everything's going to be okay. And Jeremiah is saying, destruction is coming. And finally, they get to the point where they're ready to turn. And they can't. Because the window has closed. Because God was crying out through Joel and Zephaniah and Habakkuk for 30 years. And the people would not return. And judgment came to the nation. Our position as a people is to be greatly in love with God. I'm saying this so that you will open your mouth wherever you are and start speaking about Him and telling people about Him and being bold about His love. Not in a way to condemn people, not at all, but to share the urgency of the hour. And I know that one of the things the Lord spoke to me strongly was that you got to sound the alarm, and do you have the longevity to go and sound this alarm for another month, another year? What if it's going to be 5 years? What if you're just setting the table for your sons to sound the alarm? Do you remember, of course you remember King David. And King David, he was ready to build the temple. But God said, you can't build the temple because you have blood on your hands. Your son is going to build the temple. And what was David's response? He didn't get offended at God. He got all the preparation and everything together so his son could build the temple. What if we're just preparing our children or grandchildren so that they can build what God has for us in the future in His kingdom? Maybe that's part of it. Can you lay your life down to do that? And you got to ask that question. You might just be doing it for your kids or your grandchildren and setting a foundation of who He is and training people in the love and the Word of God. See, God's on a whole nother page a lot of times than what we're on. I mean, we think we got, and then all of a sudden He turns the page on us. We're going, oh, we can't believe it. And that's the time in which we're living. That's the time in which we're living. Anything not built on Him will not withstand the storm. The plans of a man or a woman, the plans of a man or a woman will not stand. Storms are coming. And we're not supposed to escape. Storms are coming. And we're not supposed to escape. We may flee from time to time, but we're supposed to stand. We're going to find out who we are. Do you think that if you were able to go on the front lines of Iraq and do ministry, young 18-year-old kids are out there, young men and women, ministering and having permission to go and laying their lives down. If you knew that you were going to be about 10 miles from the ISIS and you hear all the things that they've done and who they are, could you do that? That's when it comes to the point to say, okay, have I really laid everything down? You see, we're not building to keep stuff. I believe God wants to set up refuges in this area. I won't go into the detail, but I believe it strongly. A refuge cannot stand without prayer and worship, without burning prayer and worship. It's got to be a part of anything that you do. You've got to have prayer and worship at the center of what you're doing. And I believe God wants to set up places of refuge that can begin to reach out and be prepared for the days ahead. And I believe that He's going to do that throughout this entire region. And He's putting things together for that. The root of self-preservation is mostly in America, in our American gospel. You won't find self-preservation in the world, out in the world, because they're laying it all down. Do you know, this might mess me up. Do you know that the Chinese church is praying for you? And you know what they're praying? They're praying for persecution. You say, whoa. Why? Because they know what it brings, because they're under it, and they know where they are with Him. Amen. They're asking, God, bring the persecution to our brothers and sisters so they can go deep in the place that they need to be with me, with Him. That's a known fact. That was from Sean, who was over. He was sharing that message, and he's talked, and he's been, the guy has been with crisis response to, of course, Katrina, 9/11, what was the big hurricane on the northern coast? Sandy? Was it Sandy? Yeah, Sandy. And just everywhere. I mean, Syria. I mean, these guys, they get prepared, men and women of God, and they go. And I tell you, when they go, they're ready. They're ready to lay their lives down. If they're not, they will be before they get back. The Western Christianity is a self-serving gospel. I said that earlier. He wants each and every one of us to lay our lives down for Him. This has changed over time, but the word witness used to be synopsis with the word martyr. And it's changed. To be a witness was one who would lay down their life for the gospel. Does Jesus have supremacy in your life? Or is Jesus an add-on to what you do every day of your life? Is he an add-on? That's a biggie. That hit me right between the eyes when I heard that. And I received that. Is he an add-on? Do I just put him where I need him? Or is he, does he have full supremacy within my life? Amen. You know why people sign up for ISIS? Because every one of you in this room, you were created to live for something and to die for something. Amen. Every one of you. Because you were created in the image of God. And so that's what's in you. And so people gravitate to that because they can't get away from it. They know that, okay, they want to live for something and die for something. It's hugely demonic, hugely evil. Because, again, that's what we were created to do. So I ask you the question tonight, what do you think would bless the Lord in your life? What is it that God's wanting you to lay your life down for? To die to and to live for him? I don't want to see, I'm looking, just don't want to mess up any young people. Right now, Islam is probably one of the greatest giants that's facing our church, the Church of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing that you need to know. It's not going away. It's not. If you think it is, it's not. How do you think that world leaders from other countries can go into the Middle East and bring forth peace when this battle has been going on since the beginning of time? They do not have the answer. But the Lord has an action plan, a battle plan. The Lord has something in mind that's going to draw every one of us into that place of his love and understand what's going on. What if I said this to you? And this is a statistic also that I jotted down. There's 250 million people on the face of this planet that are committed to the destruction of Israel and you. Amen. See, this is a reality. Amen. This is why the church has to arise. Amen. And be ready. She will be glorious. She will reflect his image. The glory of the Lord, signs and wonders will work through the body of Christ like never before. The greatest harvest is going to take place like never before. And it's because we say yes. Jesus has to be at the top if we're to have freedom. He cannot be anywhere else. He has to be at the top of our life if we're going to have freedom. Jesus rebuked Peter because Peter didn't want him to go and suffer at the cross. Laborers, you and me, are about ready to be sent out and experience almost a violent sending, I believe, because we're going to say yes, and God's going to move us out into places, and we're going to see his heart, we're going to see him work. Understand this. Many of you know teachings on love. It's agape love. It's unconditional love. It's not phileo love, friendship love, and it's definitely not eros love, which is self-serving. It's an agape love that's so completely, absolutely unconditional that you'll do anything. You're just, I want to say goo-goo about it, you know. You're just like, Lord, oh, I love you. Anything, anything. And that's where we live. That's where we need to live. And when you're truly loving God, and as I said earlier, loving people, you're alive. You're alive. It you're so tired sometimes, and then you get in that place, and God loves through you and uses you, and all of a sudden you got all this energy, and you're going, oh, my gosh. I had no clue. He's so good. Okay. God's remedy, again, for lukewarmness and the churches is persecution. And in Matthew 24, after that was spoken, you notice that the Great Commission took place after that. There's a Great Commission right now. We need to go out and share the gospel as much as we can. But in the midst of crisis, we need to go out and share the gospel as much as we can. It's not a shrinking back. It's not an escaping. It's a wonderful, beautiful time for the body of Christ. But you got to be unified in him, and you got to be unified in each other. And you can't have your own agendas, and you got to lay your life down. And you got to trust that he has it all together and that he'll see you to the end, right? He will. He will see you to the end. Our greatest days are ahead. Our greatest days are ahead. I believe that with all my heart. If he's first, he will be with us until the end. I want to end with this scripture, and this is a little shocking scripture again. And then we're just going to pray. It's Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel. It's chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Before we point our finger at everybody's sin and what they're doing, we need to look at this scripture. And we need to take a long, hard look at this scripture. And we need to understand that sin is sin, no matter what. Some people will stand in pulpits and put things down, and they've got massive sin in their life. We've seen that happen over and over and over. And I want to warn you, I don't warn people too often about this, but I want to really warn you about the charlatans that are out there that is trying to take your money. And they're preaching a gospel that is totally self-serving. And it's a gospel that all they want is your money. Now listen, you need to be faithful with your tithing and your giving into the storehouse that God calls you to. There's no doubt. And that's biblical. But you better watch these people that are promising you huge blessings by sowing into their stuff. When I got home the other day, I wanted to take a quick check and just check the news and see what was going on. Read the banners at the bottom, you know, check it out. And I was doing that, and then all of a sudden I saw, oh, there's Supernatural. What's the guy's name? Sid Roth. Yeah, Supernatural. And I thought, oh, let's check out Sid Roth. And all of a sudden I was faced with these two men. It wasn't Sid Roth. And they had the most masquerading drama going on to pull the money out of the hands of God's people. And it made me sick. And I listen, you know, if anybody knows me, I've been for the body of Christ, for unity in the body of Christ. I've always believed in that. I believe that we're going to be all kingdom and about a body instead of all denominations before it's over. I believe that wholeheartedly. We're going to seek first the kingdom. And when we seek first the kingdom, again, we don't have any jealousy, self-preservation, or trying to be a bigger or less. When we see the kingdom advance, just like in Revive Indiana, we're rejoicing because we see the kingdom advancing. And it's not about a church. And when we do see things happen in ministries or churches, we're going, yes, because God's kingdom's advancing. So anyway, going back to these guys, I just have to say, I want you to be on guard of this stuff, because it's totally manipulating people to give money. And when you give it, yeah, you give it on to the Lord. I understand that. But just be cautious, because there's great things happening out there that you can sow into. Great things, just like Crisis Response International. That's a good ministry to sow into. They're training people up and sending them out. Matter of fact, we have a commitment of them coming up here and doing a seminar for us, and a training seminar, and I cannot wait for that to happen. Okay, let's go to this verse. Ezekiel chapter 16, 49 and 50. Before you point the finger, remember, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease. But she did not help the poor and the needy. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it. Many people would say, well, it was, you know, the homosexuality or whatever. They would say that. But look at this. They were arrogant, and what did they have? They had abundance of food, and the one that gets me, careless ease. Amen. They just were going on about life. And that was why he removed them. They didn't help the poor or the needy. They were haughty, and they committed these things. I put that on there because I pray and I believe that God is pulling all of us away from this type of lifestyle, or even thinking about living that type of lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you, but you use it to advance the kingdom. That's why you're blessed. Not to hold on to things. When God sets refuges in place and people say, oh, I want to make sure I got enough for me. There's nothing wrong with having enough for you, but you better be giving things away. Because if you're trying to hoard things and trying to protect yourself, you're going to lose your life. And God's wanting to open up our eyes to what's coming and be ready. And the greatest place to be ready is in intimacy with Christ and knowing him. Won't you guys stand? And I'll just pray. And what I want you to focus on is that if there's any natural thing or something that you've put in front of him, I want you just to give it away tonight.
I want you to give it to Him and trust Him. And trust Him for the future. Trust His will for your life. Tell Him that you want to be ready. Tell Him that you want to lay it all down. So, Lord, I just come before You right now, Holy Spirit. And I know that this was a tough message. But, God, I know that we're in this hour. Lord, I just pray that no one would be distracted in this moment. But that You would touch us, that You would speak to us. That we would be willing to lay everything down for You. To come to You and give You everything. So I'm just asking, Lord. Our greatest days are ahead. Lord, we don't want to be caught in any lukewarm love. We want to be people made ready because of You. So Holy Spirit, just come. Strengthen my brothers and sisters. Speak to us. Speak to us. Just come. Just talk to Him. You are our freedom, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. If you do feel a need for prayer, you can just come up and we'll gather around you and pray for you. If you need people to pray and just pray over you today. God, strengthen us. We were created to lay everything down for You. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let Your love rain down in this place tonight. Strengthen the bride. Make the bride ready. Strengthen her tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Have supremacy within your life tonight.
And I am desperate for You.
Yes, God.
And I am lost for You.
Would You stir that in us tonight, God, that desperation, that You're not going to be an add-on, but You'll be our everything. Yes, God. Yes, God. I'm asking. Strengthen me. These are good folks. I love You.
Your holy presence.
Everything before You.
And I,
yes, God.
I'm lost without You.
Yes, God.
Oh, and I'm desperate. most about you.
We center our hope upon you, Jesus.
I'm lost without you.
We center everything upon you. Gentle way, I just want to ask you and bring the question before you. What are you going to do differently? What has the Lord spoken to you so that He can reign supreme, fully and absolutely in your life? Jesus is the healer. He can heal you. He can strengthen you. Lord, I ask that even tonight that you would get our gaze upon you, that you would shift our gaze and our focus. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that hopelessness would leave, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that hope would arise in every individual in this house tonight. Let them see you like they've never seen you before, God. God, for a release of dreams and visions to those that have gathered in this house tonight. Even tonight, God, by faith, I believe that dreams will begin to happen throughout this community. Dreams of your heart and who you are and what you're doing. Dreams of the coming storm. Make us ready, God. We call out your name, Yeshua. We trust in you. We trust in you. Holy Spirit, sound the alarm off within us. Establish your army, God, in this region. Establish your army in this state. Establish your army in this nation, oh God. Yes, Jesus.
just going to stay and worship for a little bit, and if you need to leave, you can. But I just want to pray this blessing over you. May the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of peace himself, continually grant you peace in every circumstance that you're faced with. That the Lord would be with you in every trial, that he would be your peace, that he would be your rock. I pray grace, grace, grace to each and every one of us that we're established in that place of your grace, O God, your mercy and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, even tonight in your word. It's a process of growing in you. Lord, I ask that each and every person in this room would walk out confident that you are with them, that you will never leave them or forsake them, that you will stay with them, that you will guide them, that you will bless them. I ask this today, God, that you would strengthen every man and woman, young and old, in this service today, that they would be known as the faithful ones that said yes to you. I ask that you give them wisdom. I ask that their faith and their love would increase, that they find in you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in Michiana. Thank you for what you're doing in the church, throughout the region and the state. We ask, God, that you would strengthen every church and every ministry throughout this entire nation. That everyone would shake off lukewarmness, and that you would be their everything. That you would be their everything. That you would be the top of all priorities in their life. That you would be their hope. That you would be their strength. Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Thank you, God. May the testimony of Jesus go forth from this place for his glory and for his honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed and go in peace. Have a good evening. If you need to stay and just pray for a while, feel free. Next Tuesday night, we'll see you back here.